man. You crank. This is a jam. Crank it. Man, when I was a kid, you should have seen me roller skate to this song. Man, you, this song at the skater rink, get the hell out of my way. And just like this. I used to do that old day with the candy like this. Okay. You like the song, Nate? You ever heard this song? Xanadu.
I don't know if I have ever heard it before. I don't remember hearing it. I've never seen this one.
This is the second movie that I went to see.
I remember there was a store where we used to buy Jimi Hendrix posters and stuff called Xanadu off of 95th and Metcalf.
Rest in peace, Olivia Newton-John. This is fantastic. Mark Berwicker, hello.
How we doing?
You know you're in Xanadu right now?
I yes.
Crank that up again. I had a whole routine of this. Thank you. Thank you so much, Marco. That's a wonderful song.
How are you guys this morning?
I have a frozen bottle of, I'm sitting on a frozen bottle of Diet Pepsi right now. It's from my back.
Gotcha.
Good. Then I'm going to drink it after my butt thaws it out.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. Nate's confused by that.
Well, I've seen you stick frozen bottles of things in your pants over the last couple days.
What's wrong with that?
I didn't say there was anything wrong with it whatsoever.
It gives me
a
cheap thrill also.
It's interesting.
All right, this is news that just came out not very long ago, and so I want to point this out because people were upset about Orlando Brown Jr. missing the first couple of practices. But first of all, Rashad Fenton tweeted out 10 minutes ago, first day out with the guys, what a time to be alive, flexing muscle emoji.
I love that emoji.
Does that mean he's back?
Sounds like it.
I would say that means that they're probably. Well, when did they release DeAndre Baker? Was that two days ago?
Sunday.
So that opened up a roster spot.
But then they signed a receiver from the USFL.
They did.
But he's been on the PUP, and so I said earlier in the show, right? I talked about the importance of getting Rashad Fenton back because of his experience. Because there's such a lack of experience with the corners.
Yes.
And Rashad Fenton, to me, is an underappreciated player on this football team. And I think that would be huge news if he could be back in action up at training camp today.
Big time.
That is big news. And I knew we were probably going to talk about the corners because the, quote, unofficial preseason depth chart came out. Was that last night?
You think Andy Reid just did that by hand? It's like, okay. Well, doggone it.
Well, it wasn't a complete dartboard, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, there's something there.
But here's where I'm going with this. Don't put a lot of stock into where guys are on a depth chart right now.
Nate said it's an ink. Can't be erased.
Well, it is. I mean, it is an ink. I mean, it's printed on a piece of paper. But
before we get into this, can I just... getting back to my point about Orlando Brown Jr., right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. This is what a training camp distraction looks like. Not Orlando Brown Jr., who showed up a few days late and looking lean and mean and not too far from being the best interview, I could tell you, sort of training camp, because he's very interesting to me. I like to hear him talk. I don't agree with everything he says, but he at least is animated in there. Mm-hmm. And so, and his teammates love him, whatever. Bears all-pro linebacker Roquan Smith, he has had it. He is requested a trade from the Bears, and he's very frustrated. He just posted a lengthy note?
It looks like iPhone notes.
An iPhone note. He got on the iPhone and typed up some notes. Mark Bullrichter.
He officially is decommitting from Chicago Bears.
Which makes you think that he actually really typed this instead of his agent, you know?
You want me to read it?
Yeah, I read it, but yes, please do, because it's fantastic.
To the city of Chicago and all the Bears fans worldwide, I have officially requested a trade. Just writing these words is deeply painful. I'm a kid from Macon County, Georgia. When you grow up playing football, you dream of making it to the NFL one day. However, playing the linebacker position, you never imagine getting drafted in the top 10 by the Chicago Bears. I'm a homegrown Bear. A dream came true for me to have an opportunity to put the Bears helmet on, wear the same jersey that the legendary linebackers did. It's an indescribable feeling. Walking these hallways the past 4 years, you can feel the spirit. You feel the pressure to live up to that timeless history, that great legacy. I dreamed of playing like Wilbur Marshall, Singletary, Briggs, Urlacher, Butkus. Since the day I was drafted, I vowed to play the position at a level that upheld the standard that was set before me to uphold that respect and honor, and I have. Unfortunately, the new front office regime does not value me here. They've refused to negotiate in good faith. Every step of this journey has been take it or leave it. The deal sent to me is one that would be bad for myself and for the entire linebacker market if I signed it. I've been trying to get something done that's fair since April, but their focus has been on trying to take advantage of me. I wanted to be a Bear for my entire career, help this team bring a Super Bowl back to our city. However, they have left me no choice than to request a trade that allows me to play for an organization that truly values what I bring to the table. I haven't had the chance to talk to the McCaskey family, and maybe they can salvage this, but as of right now, I don't see a path back to the organization I truly love. I hope and pray you can all understand. I'm deeply sorry it's come to this. Sincerely, Roquan Smith. That, my friends, is one of your best players writing that he is not going to be playing anymore for the team. That is what we call a training camp distraction. And he got his money's worth there, and so apparently he's received a backloaded offer, which wouldn't make him the highest paid in actual salary, including proposed de-escalators that not a single player out of the 94 non-quarterback $15 million plus contracts has. He said he was offended, and he said he would hurt the linebacker market as a whole. How about that? What do you think about these words from Roquan Smith?
If the details on what they've offered him are true, I don't blame him. You know, he's one of the best linebackers in the league, and really the heart and soul of their defense over there in Chicago. And, you know, he wants to be paid what he's worth. And so, you know, I like to side with the players, but I also look at it from a management perspective. But this is a guy that deserves to be paid handsomely, if not as the best linebacker in the National Football League, but, you know, in that top 10, in that top tier. And most contracts themselves are backloaded anyway. We all know that. But it's about, and so it's about the guaranteed money. But to have de-escalators in it is kind of a slap in the face to the player. And I understand exactly why he's, you know, he's looking at it that way. But this, to your point, Steven, here 2 weeks into training camp now becomes a distraction. And so it's relevant to us here in Kansas City because the Chiefs play the Bears on Saturday here in the first preseason game.
He won't be playing Roquan Smith.
He probably wouldn't. He might not have played anyway.
Damn well's not playing
in that
now.
Game, but he's certainly not playing now. And, you know, anytime you have these types of contracts, disputes, things like that in training camp, it can be a bit of a distraction. And when I say that, sometimes for the players it's not, because you just go about your business. But over the grind of the several weeks of training camp, and it's a little bit different now with the structures of practices and things, but, you know, it used to be you'd have, you know, you'd meet the media almost twice, right? Before practice, back when I played, after the first practice, we'd, you know, disperse and talk to you guys in the tent down in the corner at River Falls or, you know, do some other things. And then after the second practice, you'd almost have the same thing. And you start getting fielding all these questions about it day in and day out. And so that's where it becomes a distraction, because everybody's tired at this point. The coaches are tired of answering questions anyway. And now you got to answer more questions about what's going on with the contract side of things. And it's going to continue to happen. You know, the Orlando Brown situation, he didn't have a ton of leverage. I commend him for coming in, you know, when he did, because I quite frankly didn't think he'd show up until the second, third week of camp or after the first preseason game. I really did.
Yeah.
because he hadn't signed the tender yet. They can't fine him because of that.
That's
not technically under contract.
Everyone said that. That's the only thing that irritates me about this. Be fair with what you say when it comes to Orlando Brown Jr., because people were already preemptively bitching about him missing the entire training camp. You know, he's not going to be ready for the season. You know, he wants to get this big contract, and he's not even going to show up at camp and everything else. And then he shows up at camp and looks like he's in shape.
Other concern is because he's such a large man anyway, right? And his history.
Because we've seen things like this happen before.
Correct.
But then when he shows up, when pads come on and he's in shape, now it's like, well, you know, that's what he should have done. Why wouldn't he show up? That's what you're supposed to do. You didn't think he was gonna.
It's a business piece, but I also think with Orlando Brown, you know, we had new representatives that have really never negotiated an NFL contract before. I understand his demands. I think what the Chiefs offered him, or what the reportedly was offered to him, was a pretty fair deal. I really do, for where he's at in his career right now.
I'm with you.
And he didn't take it. And I think he played his hand. Right? It said, hey, we want this. And they dug in their heels thinking the Chiefs were going to give in, and they didn't.
He's not bet on himself. Now he has to go out there and get that contract.
Again, the worst thing for him is what? He's going to make $16, $17 million this year guaranteed, right, by signing it? Yeah. And there is this piece when you become the franchise, when you get franchise tagged, that, and of course I was never franchise tagged, but when you get to that point as a player and you look at this from a business standpoint, you want the long-term deal. You want the longer, the bigger guarantees, all that kind of stuff, obviously, as a part of everything. But your fallback is you're still getting paid as one of the top five guys in the league on a per-year basis, or top 10. So the moment you sign that tender, that is guaranteed for the year no matter what happens to you. Mm-hmm. So if, you know, you get injured, something else happens to you, that's guaranteed. And the team is on the hook for it, salary cap-wise, which is why they have to carry that cap as soon as they offer it to you, because the moment you sign it,
you're $16 million against the cap.
You don't guaranteed.
Get to spread that
exactly.
out over
you don't
5 years
get to
or something.
Spread it out, which is also the advantage of why teams want to do longer-term deals, because you can lower the cap number in the first couple of years. So the fallback for him is $16 million this year. And to your point, Steven, you're betting on yourself. Now, you go out and have a really, really good year this year if you're Orlando Brown. You might get that contract offer next year you were actually hoping for this year, what it actually was. Or the Chiefs have leverage in the standpoint that they can just tag you again and then renegotiate, or then be in a situation where now it's 115%, I think, of what your 110% of what your salary was a year ago, and still get him for like $20 million next year. And at that point, you know, if the Chiefs decide to walk on him or whatever, they can. So both sides are in a winning situation right here, right now. In terms of that. That's why I say I didn't expect him to be in until probably after this first preseason game. I really didn't, because they can't fine him because he's not under contract. And then my concern was, you know, what was he going to look like when he did show up for camp? And apparently he looked pretty good and showed up in shape, which, again, not that you're assuming that he's not going to, but we've seen this play out before where guys sit out, all of a sudden show up and they're not in shape, and it's going to take them 3-4 weeks to get into actual game shape. And so, and then into, you know, a few weeks of the season before that ever, you know, transpires to what it needs to be a cohesive unit. I think there were some other players behind the scenes too, a little bit with this after this happened, saying, okay, hey, once that deadline hit, he's lost all leverage. Okay, because you cannot negotiate a new long-term deal. That's why that deadline's in place in July. And so I commend him for coming in when he did. I'd take a couple days if I was in his position too. Nobody really wants to go to camp. So, you know, and stay there for 3-4 weeks. So, you know, he took a week first and then came in. So I commend him for that. And now he's there. It doesn't become a distraction to the team. They don't have to answer all these questions. We don't have to sit here and speculate whether he's going to come in shape or not, what it's going to look like. They can get good work together as a cohesive unit and move forward as an offense. And so I think it's a win-win for both sides right now.
I was just listening to Daniel Jeremiah's, one of his podcasts yesterday, and he and Bucky Brooks were going through the teams that have the highest percentage of players on a second contract that they drafted versus the teams that are at the lowest. And I swear they, and I don't remember all the teams off the top of my head, but I swear they were talking about how the Bears are in the bottom in that category. And it doesn't 100% translate to
having guys that are still on second contracts.
Yeah, like basically their point was, okay, you draft this guy, and then does he make it around for a second contract?
Right.
Like, do you decide that you like him enough that you want to sign him to a second contract and keep him around? And the idea of that is you're probably going to get that guy in his prime at that point, depending on the position.
Mm-hmm.
If you got a running back for 6 years, he might be past his prime by the time the second contract rolls around. But for the most part, I mean, Roquan Smith is 25 years old.
Yeah.
You know, he should be hitting the prime of his career right now. And so, and the Bears were at the bottom. The only good team that had a really low percentage of guys on second contracts was the Patriots. They don't draft that well, honestly. Mm-hmm. But they do a great job with getting free agents from around the league and all this other stuff, and that's how they've stayed, you know, decent. And obviously they had Tom Brady, and they coach everybody up. But the other teams, it's like the Jags. You know, teams that are just bad all the time, they just don't seem to have a direction. They don't draft guys that then 4 years later they go, yeah, let's make sure we get this guy locked up because he's a good player. The Bears actually have one guy that
that's
they drafted
player,
that's a really, really good player, and they're screwing that up.
Yeah, because part of it is with those teams is they don't draft well, right?
Right.
So you get guys after 4 years, you're like, we need to move on from this guy.
You know, another part of it is they draft, talk about the consistency with the Chiefs. They draft guys because Urban Meyer wants this group of guys.
Mm-hmm.
And then Urban Meyer gets fired.
Turnover, yes.
And then all of a sudden, now we're looking for completely different guys. Or they just don't draft well in the first place. The Bears have had a problem with that in terms of, okay, we drafted a guy, now he doesn't fit our system, or he's not any good, or whatever. But they draft one guy that's actually really successful, and he wants here's one for you, Steven, on this Roquan Smith thing. Mike Clay, saw Marco retweeted this, lists the Ravens, Broncos, Patriots, and Dolphins as teams that would be potential suitors for
Ravens for sure.
Yeah.
And there have been a recent history of some bad contracts to off-ball linebackers that maybe have the Bears get off. But, I mean, we're talking about an all-pro that's 25 years old.
Yeah.
And you got to, I mean.
Look, the de-escalator thing, okay, clauses, for those that don't know, usually there's escalators in your contract, if anything, right? So if you outperform where you're at, you know, your base salary kicks up to another year. I say usually, but that's typically how it would go. De-escalators are protecting the team. So as an example, for those that all wanted Tyrann Mathieu back here this year, right, type of thing, the Chiefs could have done a similar type of contract where it was backloaded, gave him some guarantees up front, and then put some de-escalators in there. If he didn't perform to certain levels, then his salary goes down, right? It's basically a restructuring of your contract in the future years should your play not be what you feel it's up to be. And so that is insulting to a player, and especially to a player who's 25 years old, not a player that's 33. You know, there's a big difference there when you start talking about the prime. So, yeah, I mean, it's...
By the way, the Ravens are one of the teams that had the highest percentage of guys on second contracts because they're known across the league as being one of the best scouting and drafting teams.
For sure, It all goes back to how
and
you
they
draft.
Win all the time. Isn't it weird?
Not all the time.
I just mean, but it seems like they're... When I say they won, they're competitive.
They are consistently in the playoffs, consistently at the top of their division. Absolutely. Absolutely.
We have Mark Boerichter in studio. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll do a segment on the Chiefs and get Mark Boerichter's thoughts about some of the storylines coming out of St. Joseph, Missouri, back after this on WHB.
Amarillo by morning.
Are you going to Amarillo by morning?
I am, yes. I'm about to catch a bird here.
Everything that I got.
And my travels for work. So I feel like I haven't been home at all this summer, which I really haven't.
You aren't driving trains, are you?
No, I'm not.
Okay.
But, you know, it's last time I came with you guys, I was live in Lubbock, Texas, a couple weeks ago, and then have experienced a lot of the flight delays and cancellations that everybody has this summer.
Oh,
and
isn't that a
extra
joy?
Extra day, you know, in Denver that I was supposed to be home. And then we're up in northern Minnesota where my family has gone for, I think, 35 or 36 years now at a resort last week. Got home and wife started volleyball practice at Lee Summit High School yesterday morning for fall sports. And I'm on my way to Amarillo for be back Friday. So I'm going to miss. I'm actually going to miss now the 810 100 celebration on Thursday.
That's a bummer. I took a bus from Lubbock to Amarillo one time.
Did you? That's not that far. It's like an hour and 40 minutes.
Beautiful scenery.
From there.
Yeah.
The desert of West Texas.
Big flat.
Doesn't. So
it does look like it's gonna be a little nicer out there this week, though, than as opposed to 120 like it was a couple weeks ago.
Rashad Fenton tweeted out, "First day out with the guys. What a time to be alive!" About half an hour ago, so we're gonna assume that he means practice and not they didn't go bar hopping in St. Joe last night. So, which I guess it could be. St. Joe's a fun town.
The Hi-Ho, maybe
you can get I did visit the Hi-Ho. Our friend John at the Hi-Ho, and so that you could go to the Hi-Ho and with the guys and enjoy yourself, have dinner at. Frederick Inn. I mean, that's fine, but I don't think that's what he was referencing. The importance of Rashad Fenton if he is back off the pup list.
The importance of him coming off today, not that big a deal to me. The importance of having him back for week one, a big deal. And
but getting him back today makes him more likely to be back
today
for week one.
Like, look, they're going to work him in, right? He's not going to play Saturday. Let's not. Okay, you know what I mean? Just coming back. But this is the one position defensively that they're a little unproven at. And when I say unproven, they're really, really young at. And they've got to get some youth, and they've addressed that over the last couple years. You know, with their linebacking core, with a good group of core guys there. They drafted Karloftis, of course, the defensive end in this year in the first round, and McDuffie as a corner. Legarius Sneed, obviously, is the most experienced corner they got right now besides Rashad Fenton. And so getting him back is a key portion to this defense. And, you know, we all know that Steve Spagnuolo – I don't think Steve Spagnuolo hates rookies. I think there's kind of a bad moniker that's attached to him in that space. But he prefers veteran experienced guys a little bit back there. But they've got no choice now. You know, your experienced guys are Fenton. Obviously, one Thornhill's back there in the safety position. I'm not worried about the safety position. The corner position, to me, is the one that where everybody needs to watch here in the preseason, I think, a little bit, and early on in the season, how they hold up. You've got some young, eager, athletic guys as rookies. The Williams kid, McDuffie, that are going to be big-time players, I think, and good contributors to this team and potential starters. But you got to have depth in this league at the corner position. That's the one with this league over the last decade that's really gone to a passing league. You can never have too many guys that can cover. And they've gotten tremendous value out of that position over the last couple of years. We've talked about this before. They haven't paid a lot of guys, especially with the corner position, top-tier money. They've gotten contributions on guys on first-year contracts that are cheap. And Rashad Fenton fits into that. And as a veteran guy, they need him to be out there. And so it's a positive step for me if he's coming off today, off the pup list. Again, not so much today, but as long as he's ready for week one, because they need him back there.
So the concept that Spags hates rookies, it's funny because I remember, like, I've had arguments with buddies of mine that are KU basketball fans that have claimed that Bill Self doesn't like freshmen because sometimes he'll start a less athletic, less upside upperclassman over a freshman that was a highly touted kid. But then I'll point out to him, you know, guys like Josh Jackson started every game as a freshman. I think that it's certain freshmen that he doesn't like, and it's the ones that are taking a longer time to pick things up. Nick Bolton started 12 games as a rookie last year and played all 16 of them, right? Like, Legarius Sneed started 6 games as a rookie. It's like, we look at Willie Gay, and he couldn't get on the field, so we're like, well, he won't play him because he doesn't like rookies. Well, he didn't seem to have a problem with Nick Bolton Jr.
Willie Gay told us when he spoke to the media last week that he had a lot of trouble with, you know, understanding his role and figuring out, you know, life as a professional football player. And he said he didn't feel comfortable until year two with the playbook. And he said there was a point in his rookie year, he said he felt almost like giving up because he was having such a tough time. He didn't see the playing time available to him, and he was still struggling to pick up what Spags wanted him to do. And he said now going through that gives him the perspective that leads him to watch these other rookies to see if anyone's going through what he went through, and he wants to help them because he said it was very difficult for him his rookie year.
Look, it's tough, and I know a lot of people out there think, okay, well, these guys are getting paid a lot of money, you know, to do this job, to play professional football. It's everybody's dream who loves football to play professional football. It's still a job. It's an adjustment, and you come from college, most of these guys from Division I schools, where, you know, you're the big man on campus in a lot of ways. You're an integral part of the defense as a starter. And sometimes you're not asked to do every single thing that you're asked to do in the National Football League. Now, I know things have changed a little bit with some of the NIL stuff that's out there in college sports. Now, but now all of a sudden you got money in your pocket. You got people and all your friends wanting to come to games. You got all these distractions outside of the game. And you're trying to learn and grasp the scope of your defensive or offensive scheme. And then to top it all off, you can talk about, in Willie Gay's case, playing at Mississippi State in the SEC, the premier conference in college football.
It just means more.
It does mean more, but 80% of the guys playing on Saturday he's playing aren't playing in the league. Okay?
Think about that.
80% of them.
Yeah.
Now, some of them may have gone to camp and stuff, but they're not playing on Sunday. You're playing against the best of the best.
Still means more.
In terms of athletic ability, smarts, veteran guys that have been in the league 5 to 7 years that have seen everything.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I always used to say this, and not to go back when I played, but as a receiver at 6'3", 6'4", 225 pounds that I played at, when I line up against a corner, he's seen every type of guy. He's seen a short little 5'8 guy that's quick. He's seen a big, tall, physical receiver like myself that can run. He's seen the average-sized guy like Eddie Kennison, who I played with, right? He was 6', you know, 190, 200, who could absolutely fly also. They've seen all of that. So your technique has to be on point. If there's any hesitation, you're screwed, mm-hmm. Okay? When it comes to reading defenses, the ability as a rookie to play, you have got to have the mental capacity. And I'm not saying guys are stupid. I'm saying the mental aspect of understanding what you are seeing within the scheme and being able to react and go play. Because if a defense becomes too complicated, and this is why sometimes we talk about Spagnuolo's defense a little bit, is it too complicated for rookies? This was the knock on Bob Sutton for a while, right, on some things too when he was here. Is it too complicated? Are you making guys do too much? Can you narrow it down enough where guys can just use their athletic ability, play, read, and react, and go? Now, everybody has to be on the same page within your scheme back there, but that's a lot to take on. Then you put the off-the-field stuff. You've got money in your pocket, which I was going with the NIL piece now on stuff, and managing what it's like to be an adult in real life and make a ton of money and not have the distractions off the field. It's a lot. It is a lot. And so, you know, it's hard for coaches to trust rookies when they come in. You still have to earn and make your spot on the team. Now, your first through fourth round picks, for the most part, are going to make the team. But you got to earn that playing time. And I don't care, to go back to your analogy, Nate, on freshman, right, yeah, type of thing in college, like, or high school even. They're different. They're at a different level maturity-wise. They're at a different knowledge level of the game. They're at a different knowledge level within your program and what you want to do. And to refer back to basketball, these kids are playing AAU basketball, and it's a free-flowing game, and all of a sudden you get into college, and now you got a coach that wants you to run a bunch of sets. Right? Like, you have to be coachable, but you also have to adapt and let your you know, physical abilities do it and come along and be willing to learn. And I'm not saying Willie Gay didn't do that, but what I'm saying is, like, well, there are all these factors that come into play.
Think about it this way. Shoot, I remember my head swimming the first time I got into a varsity high school basketball practice because the offense seems so much more complicated than everything I've ever done in my life.
And it's faster than you've ever seen before.
Yeah, and everybody's moving faster, more athletic all around me, and it took me longer to pick it up than another kid that was the same age as me. I remember taking my first, like, you know, algebra class in eighth grade, and my cousin picked it up a lot faster than me. It doesn't mean I couldn't learn it, but he was just a natural. Like, she taught it, and he got it.
Seems like your cousin was smarter than you.
He was a lot smarter than me. In some ways, and in other ways, he's a lot dumber than me. You know how that works, too, you know? And
he had the book smarts, didn't have the street smarts.
Something like that. And so, like, I'm sure there were guys that when you were in the film session and classroom study that were like, they picked up everything that the coach was, they just picked it up quick. Bolton clearly is one of those guys, right?
I was one of those guys.
Yeah.
Just because I felt the game, right? I was knowledgeable. I had good coaches growing up. I was kind of a coach's kid. I was immersed in the game the whole time. Not everybody's like that.
You get the sense McDuffie's that kind of guy, don't
you?
Like, that's part of what I think they liked about him is if we're going to get a rookie that we're going to count on to play a lot, let's make sure it's a guy that picks things up quickly. And that's what I feel like that's one of the things they liked about him.
Absolutely. If you have first-round picks, they should be starting for you day one regardless. Okay? Like, they really should. Because of their athleticism. That's why you took them and their ability. That's why you took them where they are. But you have to have guys that can pick up stuff fast. And if they can't, you have to just give them what they can do. Right? So in a situation where you're running some combo coverage, it's man on this side, zone on the other, and maybe it's man to the short side of the field or whatever you're doing with it, maybe that's where you play that guy all the time because that's what he can handle at this point. And you have to bring him along slowly. And when I say slowly, sometimes they're ready for it, but you as a coach just don't trust it yet because you haven't seen enough of it. That's, I think, the other piece, too, with it is you got another guy in front of you that's playing pretty well, and he knows what he's doing. We got a little more athletic guy behind us who can do more. We know he knows it, but we just haven't seen enough consistency yet, so you got to work him in. That's the same thing. You have to get him used to the speed of everything.
Okay, before you run, give me three players you're most excited to watch on Saturday. Not Roquan Smith.
I'll say, let's put it this way.
Three players.
I want to see Karlaftis.
Okay, Karlaftis.
Because I've heard some good things.
The Greek god.
Yes, on him. I want to see the receiving core and how that chemistry is looking so far. Now, depending
on
one. I'll go with Watson.
All right. There we go.
I'll go with him.
Because
I think we know what we're going to get out of MVS and Juju there. And then one other player, I'm going to say Pacheco, the running back.
Yeah.
So I've heard a lot of really good things about him.
That's right.
And so I want to see. I was able at the rookie dinner to sit at the running back's table and talk to him a little bit. I like the kid a lot.
Did he eat faster than everyone else, finish his plate?
No, he didn't, but he's a good-looking kid, I'll tell you that, in person, and enjoyed talking with him. And everything else there. So I'm rooting for that kid. But I've seen some really good things on tape and through clips and heard some good things so far in camp. So I'm interested to see what he can do.
He's a handsome man. Mark Boberger, thank you so much for the time.
Thanks, fellas.
Would you do me a favor and enjoy Amarillo, Texas, please?
I will.
There he is.
I will do that.
Texas, he's on his way to see you. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. More Olivia Newton-John for you today. Right now, I wanted to tell you about an event that's happening this weekend up in the Northland. For information, go to RyanGraceMemorial.org. And right now, to tell us about it, we have Matt Hample on the show. Matt, good morning. How are you?
Stephen, Nate, good morning. I am incredibly thankful for the opportunity, my guy.
Well, just tell us about the Ryan Grace Memorial Baseball Tournament coming up this weekend and how people can get involved and help you raise money.
Yeah, absolutely. So this will be the sixth year of the event. This is the fifth year my wife and I have put it on. First year was put on actually for us, and we were able to keep the proceeds after the car accident that unfortunately took Miss Ryan, and I was able to survive in September of 2017. So we've grown it every year from 21 teams in 2018 to this year we'll have 58 teams at the Capitol Federal Sports Complex in Liberty. Each year we raise as much money as we can, as fast as we can over the weekend. We used to give all the money to Midwest Transplant every single year from $9,000 all the way up to $27,000 in 2020. And then we decided we kind of need to figure out, we need to put Ryan's name on something, right? She needs to create her own legacy. And so I have two older daughters who are now 14 and 11, and I realize the cost of post-secondary education is not cheap. So we actually do a Ryan Grace Memorial Scholarship. The scholarship is given to three graduating seniors each year. Between the three of them, they'll receive up to $20,000, and that is paid over the course of 4 years as long as they're in school. The event this weekend, we have a raffle that we'll have going on. It's got 24 different prizes, everything ranging from a signed Patrick Mahomes football to $1,500 cash. Steven, I'm sure you saw the Nick Bolton Mizzou helmet on there.
That's right.
Nate, we've got four tickets. We've got four tickets to a KU game, Nate, so they can come see you.
Hello.
We also have eight tickets. We have eight tickets to a Sporting Kansas City game as well.
Hey.
Here in a couple of weeks.
You're so
I'll make sure that
right
they. I'll make sure they find you. I'll make sure they find you here in a couple of weeks when they go out there.
So how can people get involved in the raffle?
Awesome. So the best things to do is you can go on Facebook to Ryan Grace Memorial Tournament. You can do a search there. My personal Facebook page as well. You can also go to the website that you mentioned, which is RyanGraceMemorial.org. There's a tab at the top under the baseball tournament for the raffle. You can purchase raffle tickets there. And then one of my I'm very thankful to say I had 42 volunteers last year help us out. I cannot do this without the army of incredible folks that we have. They'll reach back out to you, get you your raffle numbers. We'll get you in a box. And then on Monday, we will draw live on Facebook so you can see my goofy, exhausted self after a three-day weekend that is incredibly long, but it is incredibly humbling and awesome. So on the website, through Facebook, and then you can watch us live draw on Monday evening.
And tell people where they can go if they want to come out and support the teams and just be a part of all the festivities this weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's in the Northland, just off Old 210 Highway, just outside of Liberty. Used to be called Fountain Bluff, if anybody remembers that, but now called Capital Federal Sports Complex, right down the road from the Fish Market. Again, 58 teams. There's a $5 admission. We'll have food trucks. We have snow cones. We have an ice shack. There'll be barbecue and tacos there. You can buy shirts. We have shirts that you can purchase as well. Too Hot to Handle is the barbecue truck coming. They are incredible. I've seen them at Hy-Vee several times throughout the summer. And then Burritos Lagos from KCK will be coming over as well.
Now you're talking. You got Nate involved in this thing.
You got
now.
Me all sorts of fired up right
and,
now.
And again,
this.
For people that don't know, this is an honor of your organ donor hero and three-year-old guardian angel, your daughter. And so please come out and support the cause if you can. Stop by, enjoy some great food. The $5 admission, that's very reasonable. Go out and support all these baseball teams and be part of the raffle. For more information, all you have to do, tell us the website again and tell people if they want more information what they need to do.
Yeah, absolutely. So this weekend, Friday night, all day Saturday, and most of the day on Sunday at Capital Federal. Website is going to be at RyanGraceMemorial.org. You can also go on Facebook. Just do a search for Ryan Grace Memorial Tournament. The raffle prizes, it'll keep you up to date. We've got two great photographers that take a ton of pictures for us all weekend long. By all means, come out, enjoy it. It should have pretty decent weather this weekend. Lord willing, Mother Nature will stay away from us. 2 years ago, we had a bit of a rain situation. This year, it looks to be sunny and perfect. So make the trip. It's well worth it. The kids appreciate it. Always a big crowd and always a great time. And from my family to everyone else, we appreciate the support.
And it supports the Midwest Transplant Network and also the Ryan Grace Hampel Scholarship Fund. Again, go out and take part in it. And if you want more information, go to RyanGraceMemorial.org or check out the Facebook page for the event. Hey, Matt, I hope you have a great turnout, and hopefully Nate tonight will win something in the raffle because we'll buy some tickets. All right, man,
yeah.
Thank you so much for the time. And I'll make Gary Lise give you good weather too, okay?
Yeah, I appreciate that. Make sure he puts in a good word for me.
That's right. He's got a direct line. Hey, thank you, Matt. Good luck with the tournament this weekend.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate the time very much.
RyanGraceMemorial.org for all the information you need. RyanGraceMemorial.org. Back after this on WHB.